Well, good morning. How are you today? The pollen is out. Has anybody sniffed up some pollen this week? I want like a new nose. You know, this series is new, and I think about all the things that I want new, but today we're going to sort of dive in, and let me just say welcome. My name is Jeremy Green, and I get to be the lead pastor here, and I'm excited because anytime we kick off a new series, it means we get to do some new things. Some new things always means that new is here, spring is here. It's that time of the year where things change. You're going to pull out your summer clothes. You're going to put up, no, you don't put up your winter clothes because it's Georgia, and it could actually probably be July and us have a blizzard, or really it's the opposite way. It could be December, and we literally could probably be in the pool, if I could be honest. I always tell people, if you don't like the weather, come back tomorrow. I mean, you never know what the weather's going to be, but I saw the wizometer. For those of you who are guests, it is spring break in Paulding County, and the wizometer is looking good this week, and so the greenhouse is hoping to get outside and sniff some pollen and chase those god-awful bees. Those are out. I hate those. The kids are driving me crazy. I'm going to have to get my tennis racket out and start, you know, doing some rackets on that. But let me just dive into this today. But before we do that, let me pray. Father God, I thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to open your word and discover new truths. God, maybe today we're here and we need just something new, to hear something that would bring about life change for us and for the people that surround us. And so God, may these words not be mine, but yours. And I pray that in your son Jesus' name, the church said, amen. I don't know about you, but there's times in my life where I kind of need a new attitude. And before I need a new attitude, I think about, why do I have a bad attitude? Have you ever just woke up one day and you just know this is not going to be a good day? I mean, you wake up and you're in a funk. I mean, am I the only one? I mean, you just feel inside, this is already going to be a bad day. I mean, this is before the kids wake you up. This is before your wife comes in and tells you what the kids did or are going to do. I mean, you know how those situations happen. And, you know, it's sort of like you're just in this funk. And, you know, I thought one day maybe when I became a grown-up that I wouldn't have bad days, that I wouldn't have days where I'm in a bad mood or I'm in a funk. But I'm coming to this realization that we're always going to have days where we just have bad days, okay? And you're hoping that the day tomorrow will bring something new. And so as I was thinking about this in my own life, I wonder sometimes, why do I have a bad day? Why do I have to have a bad attitude? I mean, have you ever like been at work and you've had a bad day and you're like, you're trying to psych yourself up for when you go home because you may have a spouse, you may have children, and you don't want your bad day to cause them to have a bad day, or better yet, your spouse had a bad day, you know they had a bad day, and you're praying when they get back from work, they're going to have a good day, because you and the kids, you want to have a good day. I mean, you know, there's this old saying, if mama's not happy, nobody's happy. How come that doesn't work for dads, you know? But I will say, you know, moms don't get a day off either, and so I'll give you that credit, moms, because you have a full-time job. But as I thought about this, you know, why do I come home and my bad day gets into the family time? And you know, I can tell these times because I'm not patient. You know, Avery's asking me to do, no, it's Lila now. Avery doesn't ask the same question over. He just asks 4,000 questions all at once. But Lila will say, can I have fruit snacks? Can I have fruit snacks? Can I have fruit snacks? In a second, honey, can I have fruit snacks? And you know, you've had a bad day and you'll be like, I'm going to give you some fruit snacks. And I'm going to shove them. No, I would never say that to my baby doll. You know, she's precious, but sometimes, I mean, oh, you know, she's cute, but the 400th time I need fruit snacks, it's like, hold on. Okay, princess. And so, you know, there's other times where, you know, you walk into the house, you've had a bad day, and it looks like a bomb went off. Anybody have one of those? Like, you're like, if one more thing happens when I walk through the door, and I don't know why in my mind, it looked like a bomb when I left, but somehow I'm thinking maybe the magic fairy princess of house cleaning just stopped by our house and picked up all those things. And I got to tell you something, parents, this happens. And I wonder if ever, you know, your kids get older and this doesn't happen. But like, is there ever a point where at least once a month you don't step on the sharpest toy that they have? I mean, does that happen to anybody? It's like you're so used to clutter being around, and there's that one toy, and you step on it, and you feel like Jesus when his feet got pierced. I mean, it's just gruesome pain, and you know, your day just gets worse. And so some of you are here today, you're like, man, that's my week. You know, you just described my week there. I don't like these times in my life, and in fact, when I have these times, I just want a new perspective. I want a new way of thinking. I don't want to ever have a day where my bad day, my bad attitude affects the people around me, and I'm learning that I have to catch those things. But what about you? What is it with you that sort of just triggers you? You know, have you ever had one of those moments where, like, you yelled at your kids, and you're like, man, and you're not a yelling parent. I mean, you've been out and seen the yelling parents, but, you know, like, you snapped at your kid about fruit snacks, and you catch yourself. Or that time, you know, you and your spouse are talking, and you just have no patience. You know, on your bad day, your wife asked you to hang a ceiling fan and helped you. I mean, if you want to test your marriage, put together furniture from IKEA. Okay, if you really want to know if you have a good marriage, go buy the biggest piece of furniture at IKEA and put it together on your bad day. And if you can survive that, you can survive anything. Maybe you've had days where you just sort of went off on somebody. You ever seen that? You know, it's not just verbal going off on somebody. You see it on Facebook, you know, and there's no emojicon that can show how bad you went off on that person. And I'm sitting there on Facebook, like, they go to our church, and we got messed up people, I'm going to tell you. And so, you know, you can't take that back. And I was thinking about other times in our lives where we're just overly critical. Do we have any critical people here? Am I the only? Come on now, you're lying. And so it is warm in here, so quit, because I want it to cool off. And so you're overly critical. Maybe, you know, at work, somebody asked you about something and you were having a bad day and you're like, that is the worst thing I've ever seen. How would you ever put that on my desk? You know, you sort of see that, and your friend walks out of the office and they're like, man, what is wrong with that person? And, you know, because that's not how you are all the time. And then there's other times, you know, where, and this guy talked about it, it probably was in a story, but, you know, maybe you were at a social gathering and they had those adult beverages, and maybe you had that one extra one and you were feeling a little new inside, and you said something really embarrassing, and you know everybody's going to talk about it afterwards, and you have to wake up the next day and you're like, gosh, I don't want to ever have one of those days. And so maybe the problem today is that we need something new, but the reality is, I know this. This is our tendency as humans. We think when we are having a bad day, when we have bad behavior, that we should replace it with good behavior. I mean, isn't that the opposite of bad is good? And so we think, okay, if I could just be good. And so maybe you hear something in a sermon. Maybe you turned on Dr. Phil and caught half of it. Maybe you turned on another show and you're like, I'm going to try this, this, and this. And you inside, you are feeling good. Your bad day's over. And then you try to be good, and what happens? You're not good. I'm not good. Nobody's good at good. I mean, I want to know when in life, you know, I look back at my childhood, and I want to know when, at what certain age, that I thought being good was the aspect of life, that that's what life was about, being a good person. You may be here today, and you know, your definition of good is this. Well, I'm not as bad as that person, you know, and you could probably roll off your Facebook group real quick. And then there's these people over here, and you're like, you know, I'm not really as great as they are, but I'm good. I mean, did the church teach us, you know, just come to church and be good? I mean, is that the sermon you heard? I don't remember hearing that one. I mean, I sort of thought we were supposed to be good. And so I think what we need to realize today is that there's something going on with us as humans where being good is not enough. Because being good isn't what life is about. It should be a product of something. So maybe we should give up on good. Maybe we should give up on that we need a new perspective. Maybe we have something new in front of us, but we haven't seen this new thing because we may be looking with the wrong focus. And that's where I want to transition today, because I think if we can look at this, we'll probably see that we're not the only people that struggle with this. Here's what I know. Religious behavior can make you nice, but only Jesus can make you new. Somebody ought to tweet that. Religious behavior can make you nice. Christ can make you new. You know, we got people in this world today who need to come to Edgepoint or a church, and they need to trade their religion for a relationship with Christ. Religion is man's attempt to get in with God, and none of us are that good. But what I know is this, that the Apostle Paul was teaching a church in Corinth. That was the name of the area. Thus, he wrote a letter called Corinthians. This is going to be in 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul had an amazing way of teaching things that were new. Why? Because the Apostle Paul was a Jew. In fact, the Bible says that he was one of the greatest keepers of the law. That if you wanted to see who was the best of the best of the best, you could see Paul. He's now an apostle because he's a follower and teacher of Jesus. Paul has his own new experience that you can read about in Acts chapter 9. But he is new and he wants to teach this church in Corinth something new. Now, let me give you some context. If you ever decide to read 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians and Paul's tone seems a little bit sharp, like, Paul, why are you being so hard on us? I'm going to tell you something. The church in Corinth was, they were pretty bad before they started following Jesus. You probably wouldn't see them here on Sunday morning. You probably would catch them probably closing down one of the clubs in the ATL because they were all about themselves in this pagan worship. And so Paul's trying to teach them something new. And this is what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. And I'll have the scripture on the screens. It says, from now on. What did it say? You ever have your parents talk to you? You know, you've been bad, and you want to be good. And so to correct the behavior, they look at you and they go, so from now on, Jeremy, we're going to do this, this, and that. Do you feel that tone with Paul kind of being this papa bear here? From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Okay, he's given us the now on. So, therefore, you see the correction? Now, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone's in Dr. Phil's self-help book, if anyone's in Oprah's book club, if anyone's in on their horoscope today, if anyone's in on good is good enough, whatever you think. It says if anyone's in Christ, the new, can you say that? The new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. Here's what I want to break down for you. Sometimes the Greek says things in such a way that our English translation can't really do this. And so in that verse 16, it says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. What that means is, and Paul uses this word in the Greek called kata sarka. Can you say that? Kata sarka, which means according to the flesh. Now, what does that mean, according to the flesh? In Paul's time, the flesh would have been what the world said about things. And so what he's trying to tell the church is, look, we're no longer looking at Jesus according to what the world says. We're going to look at Christ in the new image of Christ. Why would Paul say that? You see, as Christians, we believe in this event called the resurrection. We will be celebrating that in a few weeks. Actually, we celebrate it every Sunday. We just don't always emphasize that. But we will celebrate Easter, which is the death, the life, and the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And so Paul is saying, look, this event changed everything. Therefore, don't look at Jesus. And I love this. I got to read this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, the Message Bible says it this way. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once, and we got it wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see is that if anyone is united with the Messiah, they get a fresh start and are created new. If anyone's united with the Messiah, gets a fresh start, is created new, the old life is gone, the new life is here. And I just want to ask you this morning, Are you looking at life, your life, your situation? Are you looking at it in the katasarka, the eyes of the flesh, or are you looking at it in the new image of Christ? And so the question I want to answer this morning is, how does this way of thinking intersect with our daily life? You see, I think there's times that God wants to speak something new into our lives, but it has to intersect at some point. Life and Christ have to intersect together so that that new thinking takes on. And so this morning, this is the bottom line if you're taking notes. New life in Christ is not an improvement of the old life. It's a creation of the new one. New life in Christ is not an upgrade. You know, when you say yes to following Jesus, you don't get out of your piece of junk car and get into the new one. Anybody love new car smell? I love new car smell. I was thinking about that. The Bible says in Corinthians that Jesus is the fragrance and aroma of Christ to those who are saved. When I think about the fragrance and aroma of Christ, I think new car smell. You know, there's only like a few times in your life, maybe even once, maybe even never, depending on your life, but you know, I have bought a new car. And I think the reason the new car smells so good is so when you sign that new car payment, the newness smells delicious. You know, I love when people get in my truck. I had the privilege of getting a truck this year. God gave me one of those preacher deals, and people get in my truck. My truck's got it in July, so people get in. They're like, oh, man, you still got the new car smell. And I feel good writing that check, you know, because I got the new car smell. Well, guess what? When you say yes to Jesus, it's not an upgrade. But there is something new happening, and I want to help us with that, because if new life in Christ is not an improvement of the old life, but a new one, what does that look like? Jesus said this, "They will know me by the way you love." The world will know you by the way you love. And so here's the question this morning, and this is a tough one. Do you love yourself? Do you love yourself? And I don't mean, do you love yourself like I just tweeted or posted something really cute and got 50 likes in 5 minutes. That's not the love I'm talking about. I'm not even talking about the love where you look in the mirror and you're like, I am so pretty. My head is so silky, smooth, shiny today. The Lord's sun is just glaring the beam of beauty into Lori's beautiful blue eyes. I am so pretty. You know, I don't mean that kind of love. I'm talking about, do you love who you are? Because the reality is, if we can be honest, I think some of us don't know how to love ourselves. Because we're over here stuck on trying to be good. And when you're stuck on trying to be good, it's hard to look in the mirror and see the image of what God sees. Because if you say yes to following Jesus and you look in the mirror, God sees the image of Christ. And if Christ is in you and you're a new creation and the old is gone, the new has come, then you ought to look in the mirror and you ought to see the image of the risen Savior. Because when you look at that image and it reflects back to you, you don't see the mess. You see the forgiveness, and here, take it one step back. If you can't see the image of Christ in your life, then you need to look in the mirror, and you need to see the stains of the cross. Because once you see the blood stains on the cross, and you see your sin, you see my sin placed on that, that Jesus took our place, that we no longer have to look at life as the katasarka, but we can look at life with the image of Christ, the newness, the old is gone. God's not looking at your old mess. Okay, God's not a bill collector trying to come collect your debt of sin. Jesus took care of it. And I think sometimes the problem with the Christian faith is we sort of say yes to Jesus. We see this new image of Christ. I don't know about you, but I was 14 when I said yes to Jesus. I don't remember leaving that retreat feeling brand new. To be honest, I didn't feel new. It was the same Jeremy. And I was going through puberty. I was like, I still got one chin hair. What's up with that, God? I thought I was new. Give me the man beard. Duck Dynasty will be out in like 15 years, and I'm going to need, you know, that. And that's how futuristic I was thinking at that time of 14. But as I look at this today, I think, why do we trade the new for the katasarka. I mean, what happens in our life where we just feel this joy and love and peace and the power of the Holy Spirit, and then the next moment, we're just looking at our problems. We're looking at life, our job, our marriage, our children. We're just looking at it with the katasarka rather than the new image of Christ. And I want to help us with this today, because if we don't get this right, what we may get wrong is not this life, but the life God intended for us to have. And I believe this morning with all my heart, this is what it looks like. Next time you have a problem, next time you have a bad day, the next time you just have a bad attitude, ask yourself, are you looking at this issue in your life with the eyes of the flesh, the katasarka? Are you looking at this the way the world looks at it? Because what happens is when you look at your problem, when you look at your behavior, when you look at your addiction, and you look at it with the way the world says you will never beat this. The world says you will never get out of debt. The world says you'll never be good enough, pretty enough, talented enough, strong enough. But Christ says, I made you new. Christ says, I made you new, so therefore strip away the old and bring the new. How do we do that? You realize today that a relationship with Christ is not the upgrade of the old one, it's a new one. It's new. Can we say that word? New. It's new. And so, okay, new life in Christ is not an improvement of your old one, but the creation of a new one. And I want to ask you this morning, how different would your life and my life look like if we approach life with this kind of principle? When stress is just weighing you down on the inside, and you're just thinking of all the ways in the world you can fix this problem. You ever been there? Am I the only one who, like, by the time I'm worn out, I've run a marathon in my head of how I'm going to fix this, this, and this in my life. And then finally, when I'm worn out, it's like Jesus kind of taps me on the shoulder, you know, not like the angel and the devil. And he's like, are you ready for me to do what I wanted to do in the beginning? You see, sometimes Jesus lets us get worn out seeing what the world does, but he never stops being the risen Savior. And no matter how big of a mess we make, I don't think there's anything bigger than what the cross did to save me of my sin, to save you of your sin. And you may be here today and you have never heard this message the way you heard it now. I want to tell you something. God is always revealing himself in a new way. Because he's God. And you may be here today, and maybe you said yes to Jesus, and maybe you could tell me with a cup of coffee, Jeremy, there's nothing new about me. I don't feel new. I don't think new. I don't do anything new. And I would ask you this in return. Have you gotten in to the Word of God? Primarily the New Testament. There's these books called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're the Gospels, the good news. That's what the Gospel means. Gospel, good news. The good news says that I am forgiven, past, present, future. If that's the only sermon you could ever hear, that you are forgiven of your sins, past, present, future. And I'll get to the next part next week, but I want to ask you today, have you said yes to following Jesus? Because if you haven't, it's one of the greatest decisions that you can ever make in your life. It's one of the greatest decisions I ever made. And even when I mess up, Jesus always says yes. You see, let me land this message with this. Some of you are thinking, but Jeremy, if you really knew some of the things I was struggling with, if you really knew how long this thing has been kicking my butt, you would know this. Jesus doesn't even have enough time to deal with all the things that I am going through. And I want to tell you this today. Jesus is looking at your circumstance, and he wants to tell you, take your eyes off the world and put it on the cross. Because I died for you. God brought me back from the dead so that I could give you new life. Not an old life, not an upgrade of the old life, but new life. And you see, when you say yes to following Jesus, it's not this instant newness like a new car. Okay, you're probably not going to smell better. We can tell you some good colognes and perfumes, but nothing smells sweeter than the fragrance and aroma of a forgiving God. And I just believe today that this good news, this gospel message, is something not only I need to hear and you need to hear, it's something our world needs to hear. And it's why this church exists, to bring Jesus into the picture, because Jesus does the newness. Not me, not Shay, not our amazing volunteers teams. None of this would have any effect without the newness of the risen Savior. Let's pray.